I've heard folks talking about that we're being on the cusp of a nuclear war. I've seen no intelligence that would indicate that we're in that place.
Diplomacy remains a top priority regarding North Korea. It's Tuesday, August 15th. This is VOA Asia. Hello, I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Join us online at Facebook, VOA Asia. Also ahead, a top U.S. military official visits South Korea to help calm tensions. Tourism is high in Guam despite missile threat. Trump aims to protect intellectual property, telling the world about ourselves and computers for animals. It's all on today's VOA Asia. South Korean President Moon Jae-in Monday told senior aides and advisors there, quote, must be no more war on the Korean Peninsula. He said despite ups and downs, the North Korean nuclear situation must be resolved peacefully. He spoke as the chairman of the U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Joseph Dunford, met South Korean Defense Minister Song Yung-mu before heading for Beijing. Dunford's Asia trip comes as the Director of Central Intelligence, Mike Pompeo, told Fox News Sunday that while more North Korean missile tests are likely, he does not see an imminent military showdown with leader Kim Jong-un.
You've seen what the Defense Department has said on our side. You've seen the reporting about what the North Koreans are doing and not doing. There's nothing imminent today. But make no mistake about it, the continuation, the increased chance that there'll be a nuclear missile in Denver is a very serious threat, and the administration's going to treat it as such. I'm quite confident that he will continue to try to develop his missile program, so it wouldn't surprise me if there was another missile test. He conducted two in July, so it wouldn't surprise me if there was another missile test. What I'm talking about is I've heard folks talking about that we being on the cusp of a nuclear war. I've seen no intelligence that would indicate that we're in that place.
White House National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster said the United States is pursuing a very determined diplomatic effort, coupled with additional sanctions aimed at resolving tensions with Pyongyang. Harry Kazianis, Director of Defense Studies for the Center for the National Interest, tells VOA's Victor Beatty he does not believe the North is preparing missile tests around Guam, but another intercontinental ballistic missile launch similar to two tested in July.
I think that's their most immediate need, because the capability they want more than anything else is to strike the U.S. homeland, to deter us from ever taking any military action against them. That is their biggest goal.
The National Security Advisor for the White House, H.R. McMaster, said on U.S. television, we're not closer to war than we were a week ago, but we are closer to war than we were a decade ago. What does he mean?
I think his comments are basically referring to the simple fact that tensions are rising. And I think what really struck everybody last week when the Washington Post report came out, essentially detailing that the North Koreans were much further along than anybody had thought, specifically being able to miniaturize nuclear weapons and put them on missiles. Essentially, what we're going through is another like Sputnik moment, I guess, if you will. 60 years ago, actually, this coming October, is when the Soviet Union put a long-range missile into the air and put a satellite above everybody's heads. And that freaked the American people out. We're basically going through a mini version of the same thing. We've been caught off guard. You know, we've had different reports throughout the years of what North Korea's actual military capabilities are. And now we're being haunted by the fact that the North Koreans are much further ahead than what we thought. And it's quite scary when a rogue nation can actually have the capability to put nuclear weapons onto U.S. soil. That's scary. But I think at the other end of the table, we've gone through this before. The Chinese have done this. The Soviets have done this. Other powers have done this. We will get through this.
The U.S. is to announce Monday new trade restrictions on China. Is this a backdoor way of pressuring China on North Korea?
I think it is. And I think it's a very slow burn to make the Chinese know that we are going to hold them accountable. Because keep in mind, the way to ultimately put pressure on the North Koreans and to mitigate this challenge is we have to stop the resources that are going into North Korea that are fueling their nuclear and missile programs. And considering the fact that 90% of North Korea's trade goes through China, if the Chinese would actually enforce the sanctions, we can stop the amount of money that's going into North Korea so we don't wake up 6 months and a year from now with the North Koreans detonating a hydrogen bomb or having a three-stage ICBM that can guaranteed hit the United States.
In an editorial in the state-run China Daily, Beijing said the Trump administration is politicizing the trade issue, using it as a bargaining chip to get China to bring North Korea in line. pointing to China's backing of the latest UN Security Council resolution on North Korea and calls for denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula, it warned such actions will only exacerbate America's economic woes and, quote, poison the overall China-U.S. relationship. These are among some of the top Asia stories trending on voanews.com. China banning coal, iron, seafood imports from North Korea. Top U.S. general says U.S.-South Korea working through technical issues on THAAD. Battles between Philippine extremists, government-backed separatists kill 25. Critiques fly as Tillerson struggles to define his mission. 70 years after Pakistan-India split, Sikhs search for home. You'll find an expanded coverage of these stories and more on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also, we invite you to stop by our voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. The United States top general has arrived on the Korean Peninsula amid unprecedented threats between Washington and Pyongyang. VOA Pentagon correspondent Carla Babb is traveling with General Joe Dunford, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and reports from Ulsan Air Force Base in South Korea.
U.S. General Joe Dunford told reporters en route to Korea that the U.S. military's primary focus is supporting the administration's diplomatic and economic campaign to denuclearize the Korean Peninsula. But, he said, he's also drawing up attack plans.
As a military leader, I've got to make sure that the president does have viable military options in the event the diplomatic and economic pressurization campaign fails.
Upon his arrival at Ulsan Air Base, Dunford wasted no time speaking with top commanders to gauge the temperature in the region. North Korea has made big gains in its nuclear weapons development through several missile tests this year. Pyongyang now says it has a nuclear missile capable of reaching the United States.
If North Korea were to launch an attack at the U.S., I think the U.S. president would immediately demand for the theater commander to remove the nuclear capabilities in North Korea.
After speaking with military and political leaders Monday in Seoul, Dunford heads to China, a nation seen as crucial to international plans to stop North Korea's nuclear weapons program.
North Korea depends on China enough so that China, if it wanted to, could bring the regime down by denying a lot of resources that North Korea depends on.
Chinese leaders have been reluctant to deny resources to North Korea in order to pressure Pyongyang to curb its nuclear weapons ambitions.
Don't bet on these guys to help you as much as you think they should, because they're not going to.
But Beijing has shown signs it could be growing weary of its bad-behaving neighbor. China has voted alongside a unanimous UN Security Council to impose strict new sanctions on Pyongyang. And Chinese Communist Party newspaper, The Global Times, warned that China will not come to North Korea's aid if it launches missiles threatening American soil. Carla Babb, VOA News, Ulsan Air Base, South Korea.
Dunford's arrival coincided with China's announcement it would ban imports of coal, iron ore, seafood, and other products from North Korea, in line with new United Nations sanctions approved earlier this month. Chinese leaders had pledged to fully enforce the sanctions, which China and other members of the UN Security Council unanimously adopted in response to North Korean ballistic missile tests. The sanctions could block as much as $1 billion in North Korean exports. China's Commerce Ministry said the new trade ban will be fully in place by September 5th. U.S. President Donald Trump and other members of his administration have urged China to use its position as North Korea's most important ally to pressure the country to give up its nuclear weapons program. China has said it complies with UN resolutions, and on Monday, the Chinese Foreign Ministry reiterated calls for restraint and the need to find a political resolution to the situation. Happening now in Asia, buses installed with a statue symbolizing South Korea's wartime sex slaves ran through the capital, Seoul, a day before the anniversary marking independence from Japan's occupation during the Second World War. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're always glad when you're sharing time with us on VOA Asia. Tourists have not been deterred from visiting the tropical island of Guam, even though the U.S. territory has been at the center of North Korean and U.S. threats during the past week. Won Hyung Jin, an official from Motor, it's a large South Korean travel agency, said several customers called with concerns, but they weren't worried enough to pay cancellation fees for their trips. Won said his company has sent about 5,000 travelers to Guam per month this year, mostly on package tours. The U.S. territory has a population of 160,000, but it attracts 1.5 million visitors a year. One-third of Guam's jobs are in the tourism industry, and Guam is also home to major military installations in the Asia-Pacific region, which use it as a base for bombers and submarines. On Sunday, some residents of Guam gathered to pray for peace following North Korea's threat to ready plans for an attack on the western Pacific island by mid-August, as we hear from VOA's Slotika Hoke.
Guam's Catholic population dates back to the 17th century when the Spanish colonialists brought the faith to the region. Sunday Mass at St. Anthony's Cathedral was packed with worshipers who came to pray for peace.
We're far removed from a lot of places, but in a lot of sense we're connected to a lot of places. And so a lot of times we don't have the abilities to dictate what happens, but definitely we're part of the world and we're affected by what happens. So in that sense, we are concerned.
The governor of Guam on Friday published a video of himself talking with President Donald Trump, who called to promise support for the remote U.S. Pacific territory.
You are safe. We are with you 1,000%.
But after the heated rhetoric between the U.S. and North Korean leaders, many of the Guam believers placed their faith in the hands of the divine.
A conflict cannot always be responded by another conflict, and violence cannot be perpetuated. And so our role here is to keep calm, allow the people to trust in our Lord, increase their faith, and to be able to be here for them.
Visitors to the picturesque tropical island showed no intention of cutting short their vacation following North Korean threat.
No one feels threatened. Should we? Definitely not. Cheers, guys!
Some friends asked me, are you going to Guam to get hit by missiles? I just laughed about it and didn't worry about it.
It's something that we're not going to understand as a threat, especially with the way culture is with like memes, anything is going to be turned into a joke.
In his phone call to Guam's governor, Trump predicted that the tourism on the island will get a boost from the free publicity. Guam's Office of Homeland Security has instructed people on the island to be prepared to run for shelter in case of an attack and stay indoors until told otherwise by the authorities. Zlatica Hoke, VOA News, Washington.
The island's sandy beaches and aquamarine waters make it a popular getaway for travelers from Japan and South Korea. Guam is only about 3 hours by plane from major cities in both countries. The number of South Korean travelers in particular has been growing lately because five low-cost airlines began flying to Guam from South Korea, according to the Guam Visitors Bureau, which says arrival figures hit a 20-year high last month. You're listening to VOA Asia.
For more on the stories you've heard on our radio programs, visit our website at voanews.com. That's where you'll find in-depth reports, related stories, videos, and more from our team of correspondents. Or take the news with you by downloading podcasts of your favorite VOA program. That's at voanews.com.
voanews.com.
Online news for a changing world.
This news alert from VOA Asia. Hundreds of Buddhists took to the street in western Myanmar to protest against aid organizations they accuse of giving support to Muslim Rohingya militants. Buddhist monks and members of the Rakhine ethnic group demonstrated in 15 towns, demanding aid agencies leave immediately. VOA 60 has the story and video online. Also stop by VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As we continue with VOA Asia, U.S. President Donald Trump ordered his trade office Monday to investigate whether China is stealing American intellectual property. But Beijing warned in advance that both countries would end up losers in a trade war.
We're going to be fulfilling another campaign promise by taking firm steps to ensure that we protect the intellectual property of American companies and, very importantly, of American workers. The theft of intellectual property by foreign countries costs our nation millions of jobs and billions of dollars each and every year. For too long, this wealth has been drained from our country while Washington has done nothing. They have never done anything about it. But Washington will turn a blind eye no longer. Today, I'm directing the United States Trade Representative to examine China's policies, practices, and actions with regard to the forced transfers of American technology and the theft of American intellectual property.
Trump wants trade officials to look at Chinese practices that force American companies to divulge their proprietary intellectual information in order to do business in China. He described the investigation as, quote, one big move. This is just the beginning. The president took a break from his working vacation at his golf resort in New Jersey to return to Washington to sign an executive order directing U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer to investigate the alleged Chinese theft of American technology and intellectual property.
Ambassador Lighthizer, you are empowered to consider all available options at your disposal. We will safeguard the copyrights, patents, trademarks, trade secrets, and other intellectual property that is so vital to our security and to our prosperity. We will uphold our values, we will defend our workers, and we will protect the innovations, creations, and inventions that power our magnificent country.
Before Trump's directive to Lighthizer, China warned against his action. Chinese Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Hua Chunying said there's no future and no winner in a trade war, and both sides will be the losers. As we have emphasized for many times, the nature of China-U.S. trade relations is a mutual benefit and win-win. She added, quote, considering the importance of the China-U.S. relations, China is willing to make joint efforts with the United States to keep trade and economic relations on sustained, healthy, and stable development on the basis of mutual respect, equality, and mutual benefit. If the United States pursues the case, it could eventually ask the World Trade Organization to impose penalties on China or seek some other remedy. Analysts say the investigation could heighten tensions between the United States and China and lead to a trade war between the world's two biggest economies. Trump has praised Chinese President Xi Jinping for recently voting with the United States at the UN Security Council to impose new sanctions on North Korea for its test missile launches and nuclear weapons development. Beijing announcing Monday it's banning imports of coal, iron ore, seafood, and other products from North Korea to comply with those new sanctions aimed at cutting Pyongyang's export income by $1 billion annually. But Trump has often complained about chronic U.S. trade deficits with China, $347 billion in 2016 alone, and mounting at a similar pace this year. The United States imports an array of consumer goods from China, with many of U.S. consumers' favorite technology devices manufactured in China, such as Apple's iPhones. Meanwhile, major U.S. companies are reporting higher earnings in recent weeks, in part because of their Chinese operations. Developing at this hour in Asia, elephants have helped rescue hundreds of tourists from a flooded jungle safari park in Nepal, as the death toll from flash floods and landslides after 4 days of heavy rain has risen to 70. See the day's top stories on VOA 60 and visit VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It all allows us to share aspects of our lives with our friends, family, and the whole world for that matter. But what does what we are sharing say about our state of mind? VOA's Kevin Enix reports some new research suggests that it may be telling the world a lot more than we think.
We live in the age of sharing. Events, great and small, moments, big and little, become chapters in the book of our online lives. It turns out some of the information you're sharing may be saying more about you than you think, says Chris Danforth via Skype.
Yeah, I think that with so much more of our life happening on the internet these days, and the ubiquity of mobile phones in our lives, there's just a lot more that we're revealing about our behavior, maybe than we're even aware of.
The mathematician and his colleague Peter Dodds created some machine learning tools to analyze people's Instagram posts.
We found out basically that people who had been diagnosed with depression, their pictures tended to be darker and bluer and grayer. If they chose to use a filter, it tended to be the black and white filter, Inkwell. That's the one they chose more often than any others.
You can see the differences in some of the images Danforth analyzed. Gray or blue filters versus the vibrant colors of the originals just look, well, depressing.
It's not new news that people who are depressed see the world in darker colors, spend less time in social groups. But being able to infer this from social media, that was something new.
Danforth says it could lead the way to an app that alerts your doctor when you're in emotional trouble.
Maybe 5 to 10 years from now, if studies like the one we've done here, they bear fruit in larger groups and they're reproduced, you could imagine installing an app, downloading an app that you consent to having your data shared with your physician so they can know when it's time to see you sooner.
Danforth points out there are also huge privacy concerns involved and that more research is needed to figure out how well machines can diagnose a human's state of mind. Kevin Enix, VOA News.
Well, with so much talk about social media, it's not just people who are who enjoy playing computer games. Animals of different species, it seems, are also fascinated with video games and touch screens as researchers in zoos try this technology out on animals. VOA's Elizabeth Lee reports from the Aquarium of the Pacific in Long Beach, California, on the interaction between animals and computers during playtime.
What do these penguins and cats have in common? A fascination for this computer game.
I had actually purchased this game in the App Store for my cats.
Sarah Mandel, a bird keeper at the Aquarium of the Pacific, wanted to see if these penguins would like the game as much as her cats do. When she asked her boss,
he laughed at me.
But the result is no laughing matter.
They were pretty intrigued with it right away.
This touchscreen is good for pecking as well as pawing, and serves as an enrichment exercise for the penguins' brains and physical health.
So while they're kind of hanging out here, I can look at their flippers, I can make sure everything's good and healthy, and I can even sneak a scale right underneath where Lily's standing.
Penguins aren't the only ones intrigued by the touch screens. Orangutans, gorillas, and sun bears at Zoo Atlanta also seem to like this technology. Even parrots and tortoises peck on a touchscreen and seem to enjoy it. In this video, researchers look at the tortoise's neck length to see how comfortable they are. As the University of Lincoln's Anna Wilkinson tells VOA in a Skype interview, the long neck indicates comfort with the technology.
They're nice and long doing this, which is good. Now, everyone thought it would take a really long time to train the tortoises to use a touchscreen, but I've used the same setup with dogs, and the tortoises actually learned to use it much faster than the dogs did.
Wilkinson also uses the touchscreen on parrots to learn how they explore and approach something new.
So touchscreens are fantastic because they give you a lot of flexibility. You can present animals with all sorts of different stimuli. They're also incredibly good because you can remove humans from the equation.
Because humans can be distracting and not as reliable.
We're seeing how they can see in a visual way that we aren't able to see before. We're not so different from them. We both like our touch screens too. But I do think in the future this could help kind of do some research on how these animals function.
Touchscreens also have the potential to allow animals to choose what they want to see or eat, giving scientists a deeper understanding of what animals are thinking. Elizabeth Lee, VOA News, Long Beach, California.
We don't know exactly what the animals are thinking, but we'd like to know what you're thinking, and you can communicate with us in a couple of different ways. You can get on our Facebook page at VOA Asia, and you can send us a message that way, or you could just send us an email if you like, voaasia@voanews.com. Wherever you are in the world, however you're listening to us, we'd love to hear from you and find out what's going on in your world. We also like to thank everybody who's checking us out in Myanmar, listening via Facebook on VOA Burmese. Thanks so much for stopping by today. We hope you come back. We also like to thank our director, Tracy Carter, and our engineer, Dan Crafton, our managing editor, Diane Gao, Ali Ogden, and David Bird on our VOA Asia team. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day.